Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 38, Refire, Don't Retire, How to Live a Longer and Purposeful Life. I'm here with the fantabulous Muge Wood.
Hold on. I think you just invented a new word. I like that. Fantabulous. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think so. Fantastic and fabulous. It goes together so well. Both begin with F.
Yeah, that's exactly
a good
right.
word that begins with F.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, I have this habit of talking to Alexa as part of my morning routine, and I say, Alexa, what is the SAT word of the day? Because I am trying to enrich my vocabulary. And the words are okay. Sometimes they are like a little too easy even. But this one, you can't find this in Alexa. That's when I get to talk to you.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to do that Alexa trick. My husband does the joke, the dumb dad joke of the day, but maybe we need more vocabulary in our lives.
Yes, we do. So, you know, as a quick sidebar, I have a whole routine around this where I am making coffee, puttering in the kitchen in the morning. So I'm like, Alexa, read the news. Alexa, joke of the day, SAT word of the day, wellness tip of the day, and slang word of the day. So I kind of run through that and I'm like, I think I am more enriched and smarter and joyful already, like within 7 minutes of starting the day. And when I travel, I can't really do it like I do at home. And I'm like, I am missing the slang word of the day today.
Yeah, that's cap. That's cap. That's what my son says. All right. Cool. Well, let's get into it. Let's start with some reflections and then we'll get into our topic. Reflections from the last 2 weeks. I think I mentioned in one of the prior sessions that Paul and I were taking salsa classes. We've never taken a dance class together.
Was it a Christmas present experience?
It actually wasn't. A friend of mine threw a Valentine's Day party and she really likes to dance and mentioned that we should all take a salsa class. So we did all sign up. And then two of the couples, one, actually both husbands got sick. And I put sick in quotes because I did want to see the COVID test. It's like, is that just a convenient COVID test that he didn't have to come? But no, in all seriousness, they actually both got sick. And then Paul and I were the only couple that went the first night. And, you know, I got to hand it to my husband. He goes into this place. There's like loud salsa music playing. It's a proper dance studio. So there's mirrors everywhere. Like think of like Staying Alive and, you know, people moving back and forth. And I was like, oh my God, like this is a lot for him. And we went in and had a wonderful and really, really fun, full of life instructor. His name is Mario. Hilarious. And there were about 30 people in the ballroom. And he managed to actually get us all moving in the right direction, the same direction. Super fun. And I said to Paul, sort of midway through, are you doing okay? He said, I'm totally fine as long as none of my friends can see me doing this. I'm totally fine.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And our biggest problem dancing has always been me because I like to lead and like, let's go this way, spin me around, do this, do that.
Let's get more moves in. Yeah, put in a dirty dancing move. Lift me up and spin around.
We've done that. He's actually caught me. I did that with him in a bar in the Rusty Rudder down at the beach. I said, I think we can do this. Ready? And yeah, he caught me.
Wow, that is bold. Actually, I love that movie, by the way, because of the dance and music. And I have a little sculpture on my coffee table about a woman getting lifted. And that's my favorite signature move that I never really got to experience. But big kudos to you and Paul for trying something so new and possibly loving it. So I am thinking we may have ourselves the new king and queen of salsa. and you know, we have taken dance lessons in the past, but never in a place with all the mirrors and stuff. I think that can make you even more self-conscious, but wow, amazing. And how did you feel afterwards?
We felt great. Like we were very proud of ourselves.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because we kept getting, you know, better. We knew like the places where we had this one hard transition that we just, you know, kept messing up, kind of like the movie, right? Like the Dirty Dancing movie where they show those outtakes. And then finally, like, we got it and we're like, yeah, like high five and feeling great. And like, let's do it again. Okay, we got this. You know, it was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I would love to see that at some point, maybe after you guys exercise or practice a bit more.
Yes.
But that is awesome. I think music and movement are just big mood boosters and energizers, I find. That's why I like getting a little lost in a Zumba class kind of towards the back and keep moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it was super fun. And we have the baseline before video where we just took our first lesson, which looked really awkward and robotic. So hopefully, you know, we'll continue to improve and have some fun along the way. So tell me about your last couple of weeks. What's kind of top of mind with you?
Yeah, sure. So last 2 weeks have been incredible. I had the chance to host two of my very good friends from college. We go way back, obviously, and this was their first visit to Houston. They came to visit us, and I enticed them to come see Houston. I said, rodeo is going on. There will be handsome cowboys and animals everywhere. So they came. We had a lot of laughs. We went to see NASA. We experienced the rodeo. There weren't necessarily cowboys running around in wagons in streets, but there were many of them on the rodeo grounds. We had just such a great experience that really filled my cup. And then one more thing I'll call out is my husband, Brad, and I went to Austin for a couple things. And we said, okay, we've been to Austin so many times, and this time we are going to visit LBJ Library. We just think presidential libraries are just such a capsule of historical events and help you appreciate and learn what may have happened at the time. So it was extremely well done. One of the first presidential library that is actually on a university campus. And what I learned from that is just the importance of context when we evaluate a situation, especially back in time, we focus a lot on what happened. But then the context of things, I think, really make a difference. The dilemmas that the president at the time, LBJ, has gone through, and his track record on civil rights is just so inspiring. But yeah. I also saw something that I haven't seen before in a presidential library, which is that the first floor was dedicated to history of music in America. Mm-hmm. So it started all the way from, 1900s and to today. It was a chronological evolution of music. There were the jumpsuit of Elvis and the outfits of performers and the guitars. It was just so fun to look at history in that context. So if for our listeners, you want to come to Austin, I would recommend this as a stop to pause and reflect at a crucial point in time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And music can take you back. You could just hear a song and instantly know where you were, what you saw, who you were with. And I imagine that was pretty amazing to see that like layered on top of the history there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the significance of a song and how it may have moved the nation at that point in time and be an inspiration. And I guess reflecting on our reflections, both of our reflections today involve music.
Yes.
So to the point of it being a significant booster.
Yeah, mood booster for sure.
Mood booster. Yes, yes, exactly. So building up on that, what is the secret to longevity? What can we share with our listeners today?
Yeah, so I came across this great little TED Talk, and it's super short, but very impactful. And it's called, amazingly, Refire, Don't Retire, How to Live a Longer and Purposeful Life. And the woman who provides this talk, her name is Dr. Cynthia Barnett, and she talks about some of her life lessons. She's now in her late 70s. She's a speaker, facilitator, basically a life coach. She draws back on her her time in her 30s when she found herself as the sole provider of income and support for her three daughters. She was divorced, really in a challenging spot. And she looked back on her life and figured out, like, well, how did I come to be such a happy, just a person who has lived a great life and has helped others live a great life? And she talks about three secrets that she calls to doing this. And the first one I think is really powerful, and it's called just take 100% responsibility for your life. And I, you know in working and talking with people that, you know, sometimes this is not easy. People might feel a little bit sorry for themselves, or they're looking at, you know, what others have that they don't have. And, you know, why is that person so lucky? And, you know, is there really luck in life, or do you make your own luck? Right.
So it is pretty incredible. And I really appreciate you, Christine, surfacing this TED Talk. I listened to it. It wasn't long, but it was very impactful. And one thing that stayed with me, Dr. Cynthia Barnard said early on, is she said she's more energized and purposeful now at the age of 77 compared to where she was at the age of 32. Mm-hmm. And when people look at her, they look at her vitality, her energy, and cannot believe she's 77 years old. And that's not just about the appearance, but how she lives her life and found her purpose. And I think it is very normal for us time to time to feel sorry about ourselves when something bad happens, and maybe blame the circumstances and throw ourselves a pity party. The thing, though, is how do we get out of that? How do we overcome that thought process and refocus ourselves on things that we can control and influence that make our lives better? And when we do that, I think we immediately feel better because we are in more control, and we are able to shape what can happen to us going forward. Now, you know, we are not saying there are not things we cannot control. Yes, there are plenty of that, but focusing on things that we can control, you just feel better about yourself, you know, immediately. And of course, the ripple effect of this for those around you. So she's an amazing inspiration. That was an excellent TED Talk.
Totally, totally. Yeah. And, you know, and when you hear things like this and you kind of keep them close, you see moments of inspiration. And it's just, this is like just a little micro moment of inspiration. But I was talking with a friend yesterday, and she had a lot going on in her life. Her husband's father just passed away a few days ago. She also said, you know, I'm helping my son move. He broke up with his girlfriend. He's going to come back home for a little bit. And she also had like a pretty debilitating health issue recently that she's just managed to, you know, get under control. And I was just looking at her like going, oh my gosh, like that is so much, you know, so much on your plate. What can I do to help? And also just, how are you doing? And she looked at me with like just this amazing clarity and just says, well, I just feel so lucky that I have this health issue that's manageable. Like that's what she looked at first. And and also, you know, and I know my husband, I've gone through losing a parent. I know how to help him. But that's just a little micro moment of she's taking 100% accountability for her life. She's not, you know, down and out, not like doesn't know what to do. You know, she's taking things one step at a time. And I just thought like, wow, like how great that she's got that ability to look at everything and still get through the day one step at a time.
Yeah, what an amazing perspective, and and how it is almost a positive experience out of a lot of adversity. That also is inspiration. It is, I think, really hard to do it well 100% of the time, but I think we probably know people who have that amazing perspective that sometimes I think has a flavor of gratitude in it as well for seeing what is good about the situation. And I had the privilege of working with an individual, and he was just generally positive. Even when things didn't go well, and it could be a disposition, it could be background, upbringing, but what that does is just you feel the empowerment and positivity and a bias for action that can create your path and help those around you. And it is just great to be around that kind of attitude and perspective. It's really something to aspire to.
Yeah. Yeah. People like that are infectious. I love working alongside of folks who can see the good and see the, like you said, the path forward, even when things are difficult. Yeah. All right. Well, so secret number two, this is leave a legacy. And I really like this visualization exercise. And what she mentions is imagine your 100th birthday party. And what does it look like? Is the party small? Is it just a few people, maybe your family only? Is it family and friends? Is it family, friends, and community? You know, people that your actions have touched? What does it look like? Is it, you know, festive? Is it wild? Is it colorful? And also, what would those people say about you? What would they say about how you made an impact on them as people? How you made an impact on maybe causes you were involved in? What would it look like?
It's a pretty deep thinking, I think, that is questions invite. And when you said 100th birthday, so immediately I'm like, what kind of cake would I have? So it's all about, you know, birthday and the cake. But, you know, joking aside, pretty deep questions. I think who you want to have by your side and what they will say about you. Is pretty big. And I think being mindful of that most of our lives, if not every day of our lives, is a great guiding power in how we decide to choose our time. And I think in her podcast, she says she found her purpose that really motivates her every day, which is STEM cause. She wants to, she's creating opportunity for the youth, especially girls, to explore opportunities in STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And she's clearly motivated, energized by that. And she is pouring her energy into making a difference and helping the lives of many. And that's the legacy she decided for herself that she's calling out. So what is that going to be for each of us? And for us to decide that and move towards that is just incredibly powerful. And it probably goes back to the prior point when you have such a strong purpose. That becomes your legacy, probably we would also have less time to feel sorry for ourselves when adversity hits us.
Yeah. And I think having that bigger picture also is highly motivating. And We had a guest on our show, Mark Congdon, who wrote, he actually just released his book. It's now an Amazon number one bestseller called The Ideal Life. And in a similar fashion to thinking about your legacy, he poses the question, what would people say about you at the end of your life? So maybe you're not at the party, but at the end of your life, and has this very powerful framework, which I've been through, and now I'm coaching people on, because it just was impactful and enlightening for me. And one of the things he talks about is, what's your big aspirational goal, something that you may never accomplish in your life? Because there's also, along the lines of our purpose and driving towards something, the chemicals in your brain have ups and downs, right? Like dopamine and planning is very highly associated with, the rewards and achievement. And how your brain works. So like checking things off your list, there's a dopamine hit for that. Anyway, so we go through this thing, and one of the items that really hit me hard was this idea of driving equality in the arts and ensuring that female artists have better representation than they do today in the arts. So I went and sort of made this big goal that I'm going to level the playing field at the end of my life. That playing field will be leveled. Now, I might make 1, 2, 3 percentage points in that dent, or maybe I'll solve it. Who knows? But that's something that came to me in my own visualization, and started this not-for-profit, which is now active, called EmpowerArtEquality.org, and we'll start providing some free and paid advice for artists. And I'm doing this Tom's model where, you know, if an artist buys it, I'm going to give one seat free for another artist who needs it to hopefully make a difference. But I think the tie-in is thinking at longer term, what's that longer term goal? Tied into legacy, tied into purpose, tied into having fun too, because I think, you know, some new doors will also be opened and learning, et cetera. So this TED Talk kind of hit me thinking about that as well, and tying into what Cynthia, Dr. Barnett said in terms of leaving a legacy.
It's amazing. First of all, congratulations. I think that's incredible. When I think of these types of goals, I think we are all drawn to different causes for different reasons. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. How am I going to solve this big challenge? But then we bring it down to what we can do to help one person or two people or three people who we know in our community, in our neighborhood, where we may make a difference. And if that's all we are able to do, that is still very impactful and rewarding. So I'm sure your reach and impact will go far. And I think the other thing that your example, Christine, reminds me of is the intersection of multiple things you are passionate about, and the combinations, because you always say being an artist and you're being passionate about helping people, providing opportunity, and combining those things opens new doors. So there's a lot in there. I'll go check out your site, which undoubtedly will make a great difference.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks. I think that's it, is like finding, and we've talked about this before, finding where your passion intersects with a place that you can help people is a powerful thing. And we've covered that in great detail for people. I think that was even our second episode, if I remember correctly, for people who want to go back to that. I love Cynthia's third secret, which is know your purpose. And it's a perfect segue to this is what we just talked about. Identify what lights you up. You know, what are the things that you can spend hours on and not even realize that that much time has passed? How can you make a difference with others? And and knowing that we are wired to help people. Mm-hmm. And when you do even little things like hold the door open for someone, look them in the eye, you are actually getting an oxytocin hit in your brain, like doing something nice for someone. It's rewarding. Making sure you have a couple dollar bills in your pocket to give a homeless person a dollar. Not, like, I don't often carry cash anymore. It's all on a debit card. Mm-hmm. But doing that little thing. And when you don't do it, do you feel bad walking away from that person?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do.
Yeah, most of us do. Yes, that's right. I think we are compelled to help when we can. That's why this belief that sometimes it's maybe easier to feel bad and negative about what's going on around us. But I think there is more good than not in the world because of that drive to help others, because we are all wanting to be part of a community, want to give and receive support. That's absolutely right. And I think when we step outside of ourselves and focus on others in the ways by which we can make a difference, you're absolutely right. It just changes the way you feel, and you know you're doing the right thing. So that's all about, I think, honoring and acknowledging how you feel and moving in that direction. We experience that a number of ways every day. The choices we make for what we eat, how we move, who we speak with, and when we go in the direction that actually makes us feel fulfilled and rewarded, this definitely is close to the top of the list. I will share a friend I have, and she's dealing with a really difficult health situation in her family. She always loved teaching violin. Her purpose is to bring joy to the youth through music. Mm-hmm. So she loves making music. She's a fantastic player. She found great purpose and joy, even in the midst of the recent adversities she's dealing with, through her craft of teaching music to the youth. I talked to her recently, and she said, you know, her endeavors are actually beyond teaching music, because when she connects with the youth that she's teaching, she also becomes a bit of a mentor and coach in their lives as they navigate growing up. Mm-hmm. And transitions that they are experiencing at high school, middle school, transitioning to maybe what is happening beyond high school. And a lot of the times they just appreciate being listened to by someone who is not a parent, teacher, but someone who is a more objective third party who can probably listen a little bit better. So, and she said that has brought her great purpose, joy in navigating highs and lows of life that are inevitably, part of, human condition.
How awesome. How awesome. And like some of her, I think her interactions with those students at this time could be so life-changing.
Right. Absolutely. 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 And I think that's it. sometimes we probably don't know the extent of our impact. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. We may not know. And some of the difference we make may not have to come out of hundreds and hours of volunteering. Sometimes a good conversation with somebody may make a difference in just being the influence and support in that person's life, and vice versa. So, I will also share one more thing I read recently. We are always interested in longevity, and living a purposeful life is part of it. And there are all kinds of studies that talk about it's not just only what you eat, but how you spend your time that determines your quality of life and longevity. So recently, a 114-year-old woman, Elizabeth Francis in Texas, became the oldest living person in the U.S. So she has lived through much of history and recently celebrated her birthday surrounded by family and friends. And her daughter is reflecting on, so what contributed to her longevity in her case? And she's saying, Elizabeth Francis never learned to drive. She walked or took the bus to go where she needed to go. She worked most of her life, and then she came home and always prepared a nutritious meal for her family and took the time to spend time with her family and friends. So simple, very simple, nothing too amazing. She didn't traverse the globe, and but yet she thrived on that routine and being there for her family and friends, and that became her secret to longevity and purpose. So I think it just all depends on what is driving us, what's motivating us, but understanding and honoring that brings a lot of joy to us and those around us.
That's awesome. Well, happy birthday, Elizabeth Francis. Giddy up.
Elizabeth Francis, she is going strong with the tiara and celebrating her birthday. Yes, indeed.
I love it. I love it. So I guess for our listeners, you know, the couple things to think about is think about what your 100th birthday would look like. Think about how you are or could be doing a better job of taking 100% accountability for your life. What does your legacy look like? What are the micro and macro steps that you can take to start building upon that? And then, you know, think about your purpose. What things light you up? What are the ways that you can make a difference and an impact on others in a way that, gives your life true meaning?
Love it. A lot of things to reflect and think about. And I will add that it's never too late to start and move in the direction that gives you that fulfillment, fills your cup, gives you purpose and joy. Never too late. And it's something I think we all owe ourselves to think about and reflect on, so that we do the things that we are meant to do with our gifts and talents, live our lives fully every day, and also leave the legacy that, we can be proud of. So awesome. Thank you, Christine. This was awesome. It just left me with a lot of thoughts. I think it's particularly poignant that you and I are recording this podcast today. That's also the International Women's Day. So happy Women's Day to all the women out there and those who support them. I think it's a great time to spend today reflecting on these questions, maybe a little bit more deeply.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Muge. It's always great to see you, my friend. And with that, we'll sign off. Until next time.
Till the next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.